The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And the answer.
Okay, it's 10:36. I know you've got reactions to some of the things that you just heard in the conversation with Congressman Max Miller, but I'm going to ask you to hold those reactions because we're going to get reactions from somebody else here in a moment. I want to read a few things and then play something for you before I bring him on. This is an email that was sent after the vote on Friday. Quote, Representative Max Miller, in a defining moment in his brief congressional career, voted yes for President Biden's $1.2 trillion spending bill without securing any agreement to close the border, restrain the $34 trillion and growing deficit, or tame the current impulse toward more wars. Given the district Mr. Miller represents, his vote was surprising. Given the content of the bill, which I will discuss in future emails, I seriously doubt that Mr. Miller read it, even though he voted for it. Now, I'll pause there and ask you to think who you think wrote that email. Consider who you think might have written that email. And if you can't figure it out, maybe this will give you a hint. See if you recognize this voice.
Matters of great economic importance to the American people, war, inflation, the deficit, the cost of food, shelter, energy, housing, childcare, education, and retirement security are affecting every family. The people's economic concerns, national and border security, will be the focus of our campaign and of my work in Congress. I'm announcing my candidacy for the United States House of Representatives from Ohio's 7th District as an independent.
Those were the key words. As an independent, longtime Democrat public servant and candidate, Dennis Kucinich, running against Max Miller or running for Max Miller's seat against a Democrat challenger as well, but doing it from the standpoint of an independent. And Dennis Kucinich's name has been flying around over the last 48 to 72 hours, at least around my sphere. People have said to me, Bob, I'm so pissed at Max Miller. Can you talk to Dennis Kucinich and see what he's got to say? And I said, yes, that's exactly what my job is. And so let's welcome now the former mayor of Cleveland, the former 8-term congressman, former presidential candidate. Former gubernatorial candidate. He has been through most of it and done most of it. And now he wants another bite at the congressional apple at the age of 77. But this time as an independent, as you heard, Dennis Kucinich. Welcome to Always Right Radio on AM 1420, The Answer. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Bob. Very well, and really important to speak with you about where our country's at this moment, not just this vote, but the implications of it. So thanks for the invite, and let's go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to have you. As I said, you've done so much in your career. I kind of thought you were fading into the retirement realm, or for a little while, you were working in the kingmaker position. In other words, as the campaign manager for Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s presidential campaign, you stepped away from that. Did you step away from that solely to run for Congress?
Well, it was one of the considerations, but you know, I thought that I was able to contribute as much as I could up to that point. I helped Mr. Kennedy get his start, and I looked at the district, and I was redistricted out by the Democrats, I might add.
Yeah.
In 2012,
mm-hmm.
And the district, most people will remember, was stretched from Cleveland to Toledo. I couldn't win that district because you had a very popular incumbent there at the time. So I was out.
Who is still there and who is still popular for one reason or another, talking, of course, about Marcy Kaptur.
Well, she's still there.
Yeah.
But what happened last year is the district was changed again. And this time, almost half of the district I previously represented was included in a new 7th district. And so I decided, given the moment and the crisis that our country is facing right now, that all of the experience that I have in government could be brought to the moment to try to take our country in a new direction. And I'm running as an independent because I think that it's urgent to place country above party.
Well, I watched your introduction, you know, your introductory announcement, I guess, of your candidacy, and you did indeed emphasize that this is so much more important than partisanship. But you spent a great deal of, and we're going to get to Max Miller, by the way, in the vote here in a moment, which is the primary reason I brought you on this morning. But let's talk about this and your status as an independent. You were, I think, by most accounts, including my own, and we've talked before, not on numerous occasions, but on enough for me to get a feel for you, you were one of the more extreme partisans, I feel like, in the government. You were as left as left comes, maybe just shy of Bernie Sanders. You never declared yourself a socialist, but most of the policies you kind of stood for were very, very left of center. So how do you find your way to the middle here as an independent, now decrying partisanship?
Well, I my positions haven't changed that much over the year. The politics of the country have changed, and now I find myself in the center because, look, I led the effort, for example, against wars that added $8.1 trillion to now a total $34 trillion budget deficit. I'm the one who stood to protect the Constitution by voting against the Patriot Act, because I read it. I've always been a constitutional conservative when it comes to protecting individual freedom. So I haven't changed. And I've been a leader in trying to root out waste, fraud, and abuse in government. And so this particular moment that we find ourselves in, our nation's in jeopardy. We're losing our country to globalization, to debt and to wars, and our freedoms are being undermined. So, yes, I'm stepping forward, and I've been pretty consistent on all these issues. So people can call me a liberal, they can call me a conservative, but I prefer to be called an American who loves this country and who is dedicated to challenging the prevailing Washington consensus, which piles on more debt, which keeps our borders porous, which threatens the financial security of Americans everywhere. So, you know, that's where I'm coming from, Bob.
We are talking with Dennis Kucinich, the former congressman, former mayor, and now he is a candidate for Congress again, as you just heard him describe, in the district that is now the 7th district. It encompasses some of his former district, as he was districted out in a battle between him and Marcy Kaptur back in 2012. Now 77 years of age, and I'm going to ask about that part, too, given the fact that age is such a focus in the presidential campaign. We'll talk about what you can do at this stage of your life, but let's get to Congress. Congressman Miller. I just did a lengthy interview with him. I talked to him about a lot of things whenever I feel like I have to challenge him. He has always answered the bell, to his credit. I have criticized him and disagreed with him on a number of things through the last 2 years, but he's always answered the bell. In this one, you're critical of him. You specifically said in the part of your email that I read that this bill, without an agreement to close the border, is something that you are really surprised by and obviously you disagree with. So that, and since you just spoke out against globalism here, I'm assuming you are against this massive 10 or 11 million illegal alien strong invasion we've seen in the last 3 years, right?
Yeah, we need comprehensive immigration reform. I mean, since 2021, there's been over 2.5 million people have moved across the borders. We don't, the government doesn't really keep track, and that's a policy issue, but there's a financial issue, too, that Americans have to start looking at. And that is, by one estimate, the cost of illegal immigration, lacking comprehensive immigration reform, already is about $150 billion. And we're paying out, it's estimated that we'll pay out over $42 billion in benefits to people who have not been properly documented.
Allow me to interrupt for a second, if I may, Mr. Kucinich or Congressman Kucinich. There is a difference between comprehensive immigration reform and border security. This is something that is a running joke every time somebody asks, for example, the president's press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, about border security. And we're talking about literally trying to stop the invasion as we see videos of just thousands of people flooding across our border. And she says, well, there's the president proposed comprehensive immigration reform. Well, that's different.
Okay.
Comprehensive immigration reform involves, well, if I may, before let me finish the question. Let me finish the question. Comprehensive immigration reform always involves some sort of asylum or pathway to citizenship. And that's not asylum, but a pathway to citizenship and amnesty is what I mean to say. They used to say there's 11 million illegal immigrants in this country here. Well, we've had almost that many just in the 3 years of Biden, so let's double it and call that a day. At over 20 million people here, we would be giving amnesty to, and then a pathway to citizenship. That's what the Democrats have put forth as quote-unquote border security. That's not border security. Border security is about barriers. Border security is about turning people away and not welcoming them in, and then saying we'll process you and see you in a catch and release program. We'll see you back here in 3 or 4 years when your case comes up. So can you please clarify for me what you mean when you say you oppose this invasion, but you're all about comprehensive immigration reform?
First of all, my position is seal the border. You can't have a country without borders. And so that's the bottom line. After that, then you start to look at policy. But right now, we need to, as a matter of national security, as a matter of protecting our economy, as a matter of regulating the movement of people into the country, we absolutely have to seal the border. And then,
well, that's great. Thank you for that clarity, sir. That's great. If I may, before you go onward to the rest of it now, uncomprehensive, what does sealing the border look like to you? What would you support? What might you propose in a bill if you go back to Congress? What would you like to see happen? What policies to, quote, seal that border?
Any and all measures that would block the movement of anybody into this country other than through the regular immigration channels that millions of Americans have observed.
Border wall? Would you support a border
whatever
wall?
Whatever it takes.
No, I know. I appreciate that, but I want to hear you say that part because, as you know, that was contentious from the moment President Trump first announced in 2016 that he would build a big border wall, and the Democrats went crazy. No border wall, no border wall. Joe Biden came in saying not one more foot of wall will be constructed while I'm president. So that's a thing. So I need to ask you, when you say seal the border, does that include a border wall?
Whether it's a physical wall, an electronic wall, we have to seal the border. And so, you know, I'll leave that to those who have a more sophisticated understanding of security than perhaps I do, but as a form of policy decision, seal the border. Just stop it.
What about the Remain in Mexico policy that President Trump was able to negotiate with the Mexican government? After all, they're allowing their country to be used as a land bridge for the entire world to come up into our country. And President Trump threatened them with tariffs and all kinds of other things, saying if they come in from other countries seeking asylum, you keep them in your place until we're ready to hear their cases when they want to come up here. It worked. It cut down drastically the number of people trying to cross. Would you support that again? Joe Biden is 100% opposed to it.
I support State Department policies which support the protection of our southern border and our northern border, for that matter. Now, how do you do that? You go, yes, Mexico is important, and we need to convince Mexico that we're serious about this. Mexico wouldn't believe that right now. We also need to look at where the people are coming from who are crossing the border. We know they're coming from dozens of countries. We have to address that internationally as well. Mm-hmm. This is an international problem. It's not just about Mexico. It's about countries near and far away. So the policy is you seal the border, then you got to go back to those countries that are making it possible for people to move out. And this is a border issue in many different countries. But Mexico, certainly our relationship with Mexico has to depend on Mexico's cooperation with us on assisting in stopping Mexico from being a transport.
Congressman Kucinich, let's move back to the comprehensive part, because I know you wanted to get something else in there. Do you support amnesty for the now 20 million plus that have come into this country illegally? Is that part of comprehensive immigration reform in your eyes?
I don't support it for anybody who came in illegally. There are issues about children who were born here. And, you know, that's something we have to look at. You can't have a policy that is so sweeping once people are here that people who have worked their lives, pay taxes, become part of a community, and maybe have some immigration issue in their family that they're just going to be kicked out. Are we going to kick out 20 million people? That's unlikely. But do we need to look on a case by case basis as to how somebody came into the country, as to what their background is, as to whether they have a criminal record, as to all of the matters that involve individual cases? But I don't think you're going to have a policy once you seal the border. And again, I want to go back to that, Bob. Seal the border. Then we start to deal with this. We deal with the cost, which is going to be ongoing. We deal with the fact that people need to be working. Are they taking jobs from Americans? Are they undermining wage structures in areas? I mean, there's a myriad of issues that have surfaced since the United States has taken a very lax position on protecting the border.
Yeah, well, you're right about that. There certainly has been. We're talking with Dennis Kucinich, who is an independent candidate. Now, it's hard to say that because he's been a Democrat for so long and a candidate in so many races for so long. But he's an independent candidate for Congress in Ohio 7, which is Max Miller's district. Very briefly, because we don't have a ton of time, but I have a ton more questions. So very briefly, do you side with President Biden's energy policy? And I'm talking about the one where he came into office literally saying, we will end fossil fuels in this country. We will end fracking. We will end drilling. We will end mining for coal. And we will convert everything to electric power and renewable solars and so forth. In fact, just what, Thursday or Friday, they changed the EPA tailpipe emission standards to essentially force all electric cars off the roads by 2030 or 2032. Do you support that?
I can't tell you that I support it definitively. I am worried about the atmospheric levels of carbon, but at the same time, America has to balance its energy requirements, and you know, part of it's political, but part of it's economic too.
All of it is economic, and as far as I'm concerned, because the American people are paying more for everything in large part because of the cost that are incurred getting it from manufacturing to store shelves. I mean, seriously, $3.49 a gallon national average now, 3.5 years into Biden's presidency, when it was $2.39 when he took over. This is hitting every American in the pocketbook. So on a micro and a macro level, this is an economic disaster.
I'm with you on that. The rising cost of energy plays into every family budget, and it also plays into all of the elements that go into that, including the fact that we spend over $1 trillion a year for the military, in some cases, to try to maintain our energy posture with respect to imports and exports. I think, you know, that you can't just look at energy alone. You have to also look at our foreign policy, at our military policy. And frankly, I have strong disagreements with both political parties on that. We have to balance the requirements of energy at the same time with a national policy that protects our economy and protects our country. America has lost out in globalization. America has not been able to protect itself adequately because of our policies that have put control of our destiny in the hands of global corporations. And so that's a much wider discussion that goes beyond just easy answers on a broad policy that Mr.
I appreciate that. And, sir, I do apologize for the intrusion on your answer, but we're short on time, and I want to get two more questions in. This this one, I've got 170 more, but I'm only going to be able to do two now. We'll talk again another time. But over the weekend, Attorney General Garland issued a press release announcing the creation of the National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center, which is going to be used to essentially allow the government to confiscate people's guns without giving them due process. If they are judged to be by somebody a threat to themselves or others, they can take their guns. I want to know if you support that. And before you answer, given the fact that you declared yourself at the beginning of our chat to be a constitutional conservative, Second Amendment, of course, is a constitutional right to bear arms. How do you feel about that red flag order that Garland just came out with?
There's two elements here. First of all, the Supreme Court's already decided the Second Amendment. And I support the Second Amendment as the Supreme Court decided. Are there issues that relate to assault weapons? Yes. But frankly, my concern overall at this point is the government wading in to chip away at constitutional freedoms. And I think that we have to start protecting ourselves from our own government.
Yes, we do. And I'm glad to hear you say that. We have to protect ourselves against our own government. The next time we talk, we'll talk more about the Second Amendment. I'll ask you to define what an assault weapon is for me, but I don't have time for that now because my last question is going to be about your last job prior to your candidacy for this one. And that was, as I noted, campaign manager for RFK Jr. What I'd like to know is we are in March now, almost to April, so we're at about 7 months away from having to decide. Have you decided whom you are supporting for president?
Yes, but like all of Americans, I'm reserving the right to keep my vote private. And I'm running as an independent, and I want to make it clear that I will not be involved in any other campaign, president, Senate, House. I'm running to represent the people of the 7th District as an independent, and I'm beginning with this statement that we have to and we should have secured an agreement on the border before voting for that $1.2 trillion bill. We have to restrain the growing deficit, and we have to stop these movements towards more war.
You are right that you have the right to not announce your vote, but can I take your answer to mean that you are giving equal consideration to the incumbent, the Republican challenger, and the independent challenger as you make this decision? Or have you ruled any of the three out?
Bob, you can take my answer to mean that whoever the American people choose as their next president, I'll work with them on behalf of the American people.
Interesting. Interesting way to phrase that. You didn't last as many decades in politics as you are without knowing how to answer a question, a political question, diplomatically. Very well done. Congressman Kucinich, thank you for coming on. I appreciate your entry into this race and your discussion of these very important issues. And I look forward to talking to you again as we work through this campaign season.
Thanks again, Bob.
You got it. Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. That's Dennis Kucinich. I'm glad he's in the race. Want to know why? I'll tell you why after the top of the hour news on Always Right Radio AM 14.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.